You know, I think sometimes we find ourselves in the heat of the battle of life. We find ourselves in the midst of storms and situations. And it seems like sometimes the fact that God has been so good to us, it kind of gets covered up by the pain and the difficulty of the moment that we find ourselves in. And we find ourselves kind of steeled away in the house of God. And people's hearts get in harmony with one another. And the Spirit of God begins to move and begins to take us through some of the struggles that we've been through, and they become milestones. Some of the greatest troubles that we've had in our lives, we can look back at the hand of God and see how God delivered us through those difficult times, and they have a sweetness to them. And I begin to think, and God sent a thought our way, and the simple thought is the sweetness in the midst of the battle. And I know that so many of us have walked through the doors this morning, and no doubt there's some of us that are battling things in our lives. We find ourselves in the midst of storms and difficulties and trials and tribulations. But I want to remind you of one thing. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you always. Now, I don't have to fight this fight alone, and I'm not by myself. I'm not isolated, and I'm not alone in this world. There is one that loves my soul, and there is one that cares for me. And beside all that, God has placed me in a church and with a body of believers, whether it's Ebenezer, whether it's Silver City, or a church down the road with folks that I love and that love me, and I'm not in this fight by myself. I'm here and I have a multitude of witnesses and friends, and I'm not alone. God has not forsaken me, and God has not forsaken you. And I'm afraid in the day and age we live, we get in the heat of the moment and we feel left alone and we feel on the outside looking in. And every now and again, it's good to hear the little man of God encourage us and remind us that there's one in the heat of the battle with us. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the 14th chapter of the book of Judges. The 14th chapter of the book of Judges. And in that 14th chapter, we read of a man by the name of Samson. And remember, the thought that God had laid upon our heart was the sweetness of God in the midst of the battle. The Bible said, and we know that Samson is one of the judges, and he was known for his strength, his great mighty feats and acts of strength. The Bible said in verse 5 of that 14th chapter, then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. Let me stop there and kind of set this scripture for you. Samson has made himself a woman, and he's taken mama and daddy to go meet this woman from Timnath, and he and his mother and father are on a journey, and they're making their way toward the city of Timnath to meet this woman, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's a lion that begins to roar. Now, how many of you know the Bible said that your adversary goeth about like an angry lion, seeking, or roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour? When you hear, or if you were out in the midst of a wilderness and you were walking and you heard a lion roar, I don't know what your reaction would be, but mine would be to absolutely be scared to death. And it's at that time that fight or flight response kicks in. And that's what the lion wants you to do. He wants you to run. He wants you to turn your back and go in the other direction, because then he has an advantage. The only part of a Christian that is not covered by the armor of God is our back. And there's nothing more that the lion would want to do to the church of the living God than to roar and scare you and turn you and run you in another direction. But I want you to know the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. Now aren't you glad in the midst and in the heat of the moment, we don't have to be full of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. We don't have to turn and run from the enemy. But I've always found it amazing, and we celebrated our soldiers this morning. There are men and women that have it in them that instead of running from the enemy, they run to him. I've never understood a shooter can step out and begin to, like what happened in Texas the other day, or what happened in Las Vegas and the epidemic we have in our country. A man can step out with a gun and begin to fire and multitudes begin to run from him. But there are some in the crowd that have something down in them that instead of running from the gunfire, they run to the man pulling the trigger. Oh, thank God. That's why the Bible said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. There's some people that just have that innate quality or inside their life. They run to the battle instead of from it. And so many of us, when the lion roars, we tuck tail and we run. And God is saying to his church, it's time to stop running from the battle and start running to the battle. It's time to stop being afraid and scared of what the world is saying about the church today. It's going to say what it says and do what it does. But I want you to know, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And we have a cause worth fighting for. And so the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Samson, and he goes over to that lion and he picks him up in his hands and he rents the lion in two, and they go on their way. Now let me stop right there. And most of you are like me when I read the scripture. I have a picture of Samson just grabbing that lion and renting him in two and going on down the road like it was no big deal. But what if it wasn't like that? What if it was a battle, I mean unto the death? What if that lion landed a strike or two on Samson? What if that lion left some scars on him? What if that lion had reached out and smote him in a few places and Samson walked away with some bruises? I want you to know sometimes when we go through the battle, we leave with scars, we leave with bruises. We may leave battered, but thank God we're not dead. We're still walking. We're still alive, and God is still with us. I want you to know, church, you've been through some battles. You've got some scars to prove it, but thank God, look at those scars and thank your Heavenly Father that God has brought you through the battles of life. And so here Samson makes his way to Timnah with mom and dad, and they meet this little lady and they make their way back. And the Bible says, and I love this, if you'll notice in your scripture, and I'll get up here and we'll find exactly what verse, but it says, and after a while, verse 8, and after a time, he returned to take her. And now Samson's going back to see this girl, and he's going down the same road where that lion had attacked him. And after a while, the Bible said he made his way and he beheld the carcass there. And inside that carcass, there was a beehive. And old Samson went over to that carcass of that lion where he had fought that battle. No doubt maybe had some scars on him and remembered how the lion might have struck a blow or two here, but how in the end God gave him victory over that battle. And he reached into the carcass of that lion and he grabbed out a handful of honey and he touched it to his lips and it gave him strength for the journey. I want you to know the battles that we face and that we fight, they will not kill us nor destroy us, but we can look back and remember what God did in the heat of the battle. Is there anybody here who God delivered you from some stuff and the hand of the enemy? Oh, in the time it don't seem sweet. In the time we don't understand. In the time we'll even question God. God, I don't understand why I've got to go through this. I don't understand why I've got to battle this. There may even be times that we're almost ready to give up. Let me say this to you. If you're here this morning and you're just about ready to give up, just keep on pressing. Trust the Lord. He'll see you through in the end. So he reaches in his hands and he gets some sweetness out of that lion's carcass. And he goes to his mom and dad and he don't tell them where the honey come from. He just gives him some of the honey. And I've often wondered, God, why is that so recorded and important in Scripture? And then I begin to think and remember some of the things that my mom and daddy stood by me with when I was going through the battle. Some of the battles that I fought that they didn't forsake me. I thought about some of my church mamas and some of my church daddies and the battles they knew that I was going through. Listen, and it's me. This may make you think less of me. If it does, that's all right. That's between you and God. But I fought the battle of depression. I've had the lion roar in my ear and tell me that it was over, that what I was doing wasn't making any difference. I've heard the roar of the lion, but I'm going to tell you, I had some mamas and daddies that did not forsake me, and thank God my heavenly Father certainly did not forsake me. And when it was over, Samson said, "This is sweet, mom and daddy, you was with me through it. I want you to taste some of this sweetness." I'll tell you what, you keep standing beside that one that's fighting addiction, you keep standing beside that one that's fighting sin, and when they're victorious, you'll get a taste of the honey with them. Is there anything any sweeter as a mom and a dad than to see your kids succeed? See, you've invested in them. You put your heart in them. You've done all you can for them. And when they succeed, it's not just sweet for them, but it's sweet for you. Absolutely. So, there was some sweetness even in the midst of the battle. And then I'm reminded in the book of 1 Samuel. And again, this is in the 14th chapter. Here we see Jonathan, this prince, the son of Saul. And him and his arm bearer are in the midst of the mountains. And they're going up against the Philistines. And down in the valley is his daddy Saul. And Saul is just, I'm going to use an old country word and I'll explain it to you. If you don't understand it, he was lollygagging down in the valley. That's all he was loafing down there. That's old country term. That means he was just rambling around. Down in the valley, 600 men with him. Didn't have the guts to go fight the enemy. Listen, it wasn't just that he didn't have the guts. He didn't have the desire and did not see the need. I want you to know, David said when he fought Goliath, "Is there not a cause?" And until we understand that the cause is greater than us, the cause is bigger than us, and that cause is eternity, we'll never do anything for God. But when we realize the cause is greater than us, it'll motivate us to risk life and limb for the cause of Jesus Christ. And so here two men are, Jonathan and his arm bearer. And I love the arm bearer in this story. The arm bearer was an old soldier that was chosen out of the infantry or chosen out of the army. He was, now listen, we're talking about the prince. This arm bearer was to take care of the prince. Do you think that was a man that never fought? Do you think that was a slipshoddy soldier? Do you think they just went and chose for him somebody who didn't know what they was doing? Do you think that guy was a rookie who had never swung a sword or carried a shield? That man had fought and proved himself. And here they had brought him unto Jonathan and yoked him together and said, "Now you two, I want you to labor together." Thank God God will send a little man to a church and they can labor together. They can work together. They can have his back. He can have their back. They can work together in the house of God and fight off the wiles of the devil and the enemy when they labor together. Bless God. And so there Saul is lollygagging down in the valley. Two men against 50, against a whole garrison of Philistines. And I love what the old arm bearer said. He said, "Now, Jonathan," he said, "son, all I'm going to ask is do all that's in your heart to do." Now, there are those that say the man that preaches the word of God, he is a soldier with a sword. And at times that's the case. But at times it is the church that is the one with the sword. And we vary that role back and forth. There are times you're the arm bearer and I'm the soldier. And there are times that you're the soldier and I'm the arm bearer. But what that arm bearer was to do was to encourage that soldier to go all the way and risk life or limb and say, regardless of what circumstances tell us, God can give us the victory. And so here they are, and the Bible said, now think about this. Jonathan says, if we yell up there and discover ourselves, make ourselves known, and they say, come to us, then that's an answer and a sign from God. We're to go fight them over there. But if they don't, we'll just wait right here and we'll not do a thing. And so they discover themselves. And you're reading your scripture, what the Philistines say to them is, come on up here, boys, and we'll show you a thing. In other words, the same is if we say, oh, you want to mess, I'll show you a thing or two. That's what they were saying. Looked like to me they would have said, now, God, if you want us to go up there, let them soldiers say we're tired and don't feel like fighting. Or you know, dysentery's run through the camp and we're all distraught and we're all wet. That'd been my sign. Okay, they're weak. Let's go. But the soldiers of the Philistines cry back and say, come on up here and we'll show you a thing. Now, I love the analogy of this and the truth of this. Here goes Jonathan, the prince of the king of Israel, and he's got his arm bearer not just behind him, but beside him also. Now, listen, the part of us that's not covered is our back. That's the part that is so vulnerable. But if we'll be somebody's arm, oh, God, help me. If we'll be somebody's arm bearer, stand up, Stevie. Stand up, Stevie, if you just have my back. Oh, and we can labor together. You swing your sword on that side. I'll swing my sword on this side. But by the grace of God, we'll be victorious. Amen. Candace, I don't even know if you realize you said this, and it stirred my heart. See us. When you said we got to have each other's back. Do you know that not all of us are called to yield the sword, but we can be somebody's arm bearer? That not all of us are called to carry the gospel hither to yon, but we can be somebody's arm bearer when you call a man and his heart's broken and you just ask him how he's doing. You're his arm bearer. When you listen to a man and he talks to you on the phone and he bears his heart to you, you're an arm bearer. Oh, thank God there's some good arm bearers in the house of God. Josh, I'm not asking you to be my arm bearer if I'm wrong. I'm not asking you to be, and I won't be your arm bearer. If you're out of the will of God, it won't work. But I'll promise you this, brother, if you're fighting for the Lord and somebody starts talking about you, I've got your back, I'll be your arm bearer. You just keep going forward. Oh, listen, we're living in a day and a time where everybody's tearing everybody else down. I'm tired of this negativity. It's not to be in the house of God. We are for one another and we are for Christ.
Amen. That's right.
Brother, you've been a good arm bearer. Been a good arm bearer. And his iron sharpened his iron. Oh, and those two boys, Angela, those two men, made their way up the mountainside. Candace, old Armbury, behind him. Jonathan in front. Nelson, they killed 20. Just slew them. Just no problem, went through them like a hot knife through butter. Now, I don't want to prolong this, but let's go all the way and let's finish this. Their Saul still is in the valley. Listen, he's so far away from God that he don't even realize there's a battle taking place and his son is in the battle booth. He don't even realize that he's so far away from God. I'm going to tell you, if you don't understand it and don't know it, we are in the battle for the heart and the soul of our nation and the heart and the soul of our children. And it's time to stop running from the battle. Suit up, armor up, get on the battlefield, and let's go to war. Now, the weapons of this warfare are not carnal. It's not swords and spears and guns and knives we need. But it's the love of God. It's the peace of God. It's the joy of God. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. Those, and that is our armor and the Word of God being our sword. So, here Saul is down in the valley and he hears a rumble and all of a sudden he gets self-right. You know what? Once a battle gets won, then everybody wants to join in, don't they? I heard Josh Cowart, my folks know who Josh Cowart is, old preacher from up in the mountains. He said, you know, I was in a church one time and he said the man was trying to get somewhere with God, trying to preach, and he couldn't get nowhere. And I just stuck with him and tried to pray, and I'd amen him and try to get in there. And nobody would say nothing. And finally, he got over the top of the hill and started down the backside. For those of you that don't understand that preacher speak, that means he finally got connected with God, and it wasn't a struggle anymore. It became a joy. And then everybody else wanted to join in and amen him and be with him in that preacher. Looked at him and said, look, hold your peace. You didn't go with me up the mountain. You can't ride down on the backside. And so here Saul's wanting to join in. Oh, there's a commotion. Maybe we're winning the battle. And he looks at the people and says, nobody's to eat anything until I'm avenged of these Philistines this day. Nobody eat anything. What a selfish, carnal man. I'm going to tell you, church, to God you eat and eat well. To God you get strength for the journey. It ain't about me and what I want. It's about the will of God and God working and moving in your lives. What a selfish, arrogant man. Nobody eat anything until I'm avenged. Guess what? Two people weren't there to hear that proclamation. The two boys that was doing the fighting. So they get into a place you'll find a little further along. And they're walking through the midst of the trees. And there's actually honey that's dripping from the trees. Now Saul has said, let any man be accursed that eats anything. Well, Jonathan was too busy in the battle and the arm bearer to hear that. So what do? They're walking through the forest and the honey's dipping from the trees and they reach up and they take a bite. And Jonathan said this, when I ate of the honey, my eyes were enlightened. I began to see some things, how wrong my daddy was and how wrong he is and how selfish he is. Take and eat for everybody. It's good for your strength. And there are men that struggle. Let me say this. I may struggle when I'm with you, Stephen. I'm going to have my struggles, son. I'm going to have my bad day. I heard a man say, you know, when somebody's having a bad day, just don't encourage it. Don't get in there with them and have a bad day with them. We're going to have our bad days. That's part of life. We're going to have pains, honey. I can't tell you what'll happen tomorrow. I'm going to have my trials. I get flustered. I get flummoxed and upset and all those things and full of worry and strife. All of us do. We're just real people trying to serve an almighty God. Amen. Amen. But I'm going to tell you this. When I'm not eating from the throne, I still want you to eat. Even if I can't get a hold of God, I want you to get a hold of Him. When I'm unable to eat and there's honey dripping from the tree, just because I can't eat and I'm not where I need to be, don't mean I want you to be the same way. If I'm not able to eat and there's honey dripping, eat anyhow. Oh, there are men in this world There are men that preach the gospel, and if they can't find joy in it, they don't want you to have joy in it. If they don't feel like they've been successful, they don't want you to eat or feed. I'm telling you, He is a good shepherd. He gave His life for the flock. He'll lead us into green pasture, and when He puts us in a green pasture, eat until you're full. So we see, bless his heart. Got to see daddy. We see Saul's disobedience to God would have starved a people to death. I'm going to tell you this, and I'm closing. Listen, I wish I could tell you that I'm always going to be obedient to God. I wish I could tell you I'm not going to make a mistake, and God sometimes won't withdraw His fellowship from me, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a man just like you are. And I'm liable to, I'm going to tell you this. So when I'm in the midst of the drought and when I'm in the midst of a place where I'm, you know what? The Bible said if we're not chastised of God, we're none of His. There are times God is going to chastise me. I'll say this. Listen, I've not eaten from the table of God for 2 weeks. I'm going to tell you I did and said something that was contrary. And I'll tell you what I have been through. I know what it's like to be spanked. But thank God when I come out from under the spanking and I'm sitting in the middle of a forest dripping with honey, forgive me this morning, but I'm going to eat a little while. I'm starved to death. I've starved myself to death, but I've found my way back to God, and there's still bread on the table. And while it's there, I'm just going to go ahead and eat. Why don't you just join me? And if you say you've never been chastised, I got to ask you, have you ever been saved? I'm closing, I promise. There are some hard battles in this life. There are things, you young guys, you know, they're just starting out your life. You're looking for a maid, and I got a daughter fixing to get married. I don't want to scare her to death and tell her my experiences, and she go, oh my gosh, okay, I'm done with this. You know, my wife could tell her some stories. It'd be certainly, if he's like you, Dad, I don't want any part of this. I'm done. Let me encourage you. Enjoy the hard times together. Enjoy it when it's tough. I've been in places where, and I've laid in the bed at night, and I've talked to my wife when she was the best friend other than Christ to my own soul. When I would say things and bear to her and pour out all this garbage that was going on in my life and me starting to become bitter. And oh yeah, preacher can get bitter. Begin to pour it out. And her sat there and listen and listen and listen. And I told her the other night, I said, honey, I said, I am so sorry to pull you down with my bad times. You know what she said? Well, I married you for better or for worse. She just didn't know that worse was going to be a lot more than the better, I reckon. Stand to your feet this morning. Guys, we'll face some battles. I'll assure you that. We're going to face things as a church just because we're left here in this world. And listen, we've been left here to work for the Lord, but He's not forsaken us. God has put us together for times like these that we might draw strength from one another. Now, I'm going to tell you this, listen. Young people, and I want you to hear this. I realize you're outnumbered in school. I understand that. Grown folks, I realize you're probably outnumbered on the job. That there are not a lot of people around you that believe like you do. But I want our young people to know this. Listen, your little old pastor has got your back. And when you mess up, I love you. And when you succeed, I love you. When you have trouble, I love you. And church, all of us do, don't we? Amen. Listen, there are too many young people that are growing up without a support system, without a group of people behind them, and them knowing that they're loved unconditionally no matter what they face in this life. But I'm persuaded you know how to love. And you're full of God's compassion, love, and care. Oh, listen, this morning, if you need to pray and talk to the Lord, I want you to come. And listen, I want you to move as God beckons you, if God beckons you to move. That's between you and God. But I'm going to tell you this, we don't have to fight this battle without some strength. And we don't have to fight this battle without remembering there's some sweetness in the midst of the battle. Go ahead and sing if you will.